Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America continues for another hour. Our friend Drex joins us every Sunday night, except for last Sunday when he was on vacation. So we get to spend this Sunday together. He hosts The Late Shift in Canada out of Vancouver, but he's syndicated through his Chorus Radio Network, which is pretty neat. And we like to connect our two radio shows on Sunday night. I really enjoy this time, so we're going to get to Drex here in about 25 minutes. But first, Scott's been holding on since the last hour. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. How are you,
Ryan? Good.
Good. This Memorial Day, I just want to point out to your listeners in America that thousands of dead U.S. soldiers the U.S. has to show, and tens of thousands of amputees, paralyzed, and blinded U.S. soldiers from IEDs, and trillions, of course, spent in useless wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, because of the tremendous pressure exerted upon our congressmen and senators from AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. And make no mistake about it, we've been stuck in the Middle East for the past 20 years, bogged down. We have nothing to show for it. And AIPAC, as I said, wields enormous power in the halls of Congress, and our senators and congressmen are frankly so petrified and intimidated to vote against AIPAC that they knuckle under. And the power of the Jewish lobby is just tremendous in the United States. So after over two decades counting, we have absolutely nothing to show in the Middle East. And make no mistake, the $6 or $7 or $8 trillion that we spent in the Middle East for these useless wars also accounted for this destruction of the U.S. economy, because it was a tremendous drag on the U.S. economy. So what I'm saying
say all
is
of that, you know, I wouldn't say it was a drag on the U.S. economy. The
military
spending in general, I don't think, has been a drag on the U.S. economy.
It didn't. It's part of the military-industrial complex, if you will. But after all of these years, nothing to show for these wars.
Well,
and,
let me ask this real quick. Scott, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Florida.
Okay. Well, you made it sound like you were outside of the country when you said just in general. It sounded like you're alluding you're outside of the country. Yeah, there's one other thing, and I'm just going to ask this, and hopefully you're not offended by me asking this, but do you have
not
anything against Jews?
You asked me a question, and I'm going to be very frank about it, and I'm not going to cower from it. The Jews wield enormous power in the United States. They control not only AIPAC, American foreign policy, they also control the Federal Reserve. The Jews control Wall Street. The Jews control Hollywood. The Jews control the media. The Jews have done tremendous damage to the United States with the tremendous power that they wield. And unfortunately, we are in an economic depression because Alan Greenspan, who was the former chairman of the Federal Reserve, the trillions of dollars that we're spending in the hyperinflation that America's in, and we're in a second Great Depression, he was the architect of that. So to answer your question, the Jews wield enormous power in the United States. The Jews have also done tremendous damage to the United States and to the world.
How long have you been anti-Semitic?
I've been anti-Semitic pretty much all my life. And by the way, I'm Jewish, and that's the truth. I'm a self-hating Jew, and I have not been in a synagogue, sir, since I was bar mitzvahed, but I have seen firsthand the power that the Jews wield. And if your listeners want to understand what's going on in the United States and the world, why everything is going horribly, and it's such a nightmare, they need to read a book called The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And by the way, it's the Jews would always cry, it's a forgery, it's authentic, it's genuine, it's a Jewish plot to control the world, and I absolutely sincerely believe that, and that spells out everything that's going on in America and the world.
You know, I got to say, Scott, I just want to learn more about you, really, if I can just keep asking you questions.
Yes.
How much of your day is consumed with coming up with these theories about the Jews? Is it a lot of your day, or is it just at times it comes up. And I'm just curious how much of this
I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem.
I think you're self-fueling this sort of hatred back to yourself, and it's become unhealthy.
I see America today, and I see the American people. It's not just America, it's the world. You look at the Rothschild family, and every one of them, the American people, I hate to say it, are very, very dumb. And I don't say that to be a snob. I say that because it doesn't matter to Democrat or Republican. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, the power is in the protocol stated. The power behind the throne, the wire pullers, is international Jewry coming from the Rothschilds, who control everything from the Federal Reserve to the Bank of England, been responsible for wars. Henry Ford published in 1920, in fact, the other day he came out, May 22nd, 1920, Henry Ford published The International Jew. And everyone wrote off Henry Ford as a crackpot, an anti-Semite, a Jew hater. Henry Ford was a genius. And Henry Ford knew that everything, even in those days, a century ago, the same old story, the Rothschilds, the Federal Reserve was created in 1913 by Paul Warburg, a German Jewish banker. The Federal Reserve is the worst thing that ever happened to America. It enslaved America. It's not federal. It's not a public part of the U.S. government. It is a private institution that has enslaved and destroyed the wealth of America, because since 1913, the U.S. dollar has lost 97% of its value. Mm.
Do you have any faith today? You said you were bar mitzvahed, so I'm assuming maybe your parents raised you in the Jewish faith, but do you have any faith today?
No. I do believe, though, that we're living in the end times. And I do believe that Jesus Christ will be coming to earth. This is not just a coincidence. The coronavirus, it says in the Bible, there'll be plagues and pestilences and wars and rumors of war. And so I do believe that Jesus will come to earth. I know the Jews reject Jesus. I don't give a damn what the Jews believe. And by the way, the Jews are not a religion. They're a race. They want the world to believe. That's the greatest hoax. They want the world to believe that they are a religion when indeed they are a race of people.
What made you call in tonight?
Memorial Day, and I got your number years ago, Overnight America. I called many years ago, I believe, if my memory corrects, your host was a man by the name of John Grayson.
Yeah, that was some time ago, yeah. Well, not that long ago, but yeah, maybe about 4 years ago. But yeah, he was on for a while, but I took over 3 years ago.
He was an excellent broadcaster.
Yeah. So do you listen every once in a while, or is this the first time you've listened since then?
This is the first time I listened. I've been very busy, and you know, my folks died, and after that, I was very active in radio, and after they died, the light went out, if you will. It just I wasn't interested, and then what's happening in America? It prompted me to call because everything that's going on in America, yes, comes back to international Jewry.
Well, have you called other radio shows?
Yes, I have.
Do they talk to you this long?
No. I meant to tell you, sir. You are very fair, and your listeners. You have given me a platform others
Scott,
have dismissed me as a kook.
I gotta say, honestly, I don't feel comfortable about giving you a platform based on the things you're saying. But I'm very interested in this way of thinking. And just, you know, this is the thing. I don't think we should talk about other people and try to demean them. So just the way we're talking to each other, and because I can hear the things and that you're saying, disagree with them, and honestly think they're pretty disgusting, honestly. But I can hear these things, and I don't really mind having a conversation about it. I just would hope that maybe it would be something to consider in the future, that the things that you are saying about the Jews, maybe you give them a little bit more consideration, a little bit more respect, and maybe that could change your heart a little.
I would if they weren't involved in such nefarious activities, such as George Soros. I believe he's behind many a problem, conspiracy in America. Alan Greenspan.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you're bringing up these certain individuals, and that's part of it. I mean, when we start to hear these things, it's beyond conspiratorial. It's almost like there's a certain, I don't want to use the word brainwashing, but there's a certain talking point that I've heard you bring up many times, that that's a common talking point when it comes to this way of thinking. And I just wonder where you got this way of thinking.
I got this way of thinking by being Jewish, seeing the Jews firsthand, seeing the corruption of power that they wield in the protocols. The Gentiles are referred to as Goyim, which is a derogatory term meaning essentially stupid Gentiles. If your listeners would ever read the Talmud, it's too complicated to go over on the thing, but they need to read it. It's really quite reprehensible. It's just Scott, what's going on in the world today fits the protocols. Exactly. Henry Ford said that it paralleled the protocols a century ago. A century later, things have not changed at all. It's still the same, same old story, sorry story.
Yeah. Scott, we got to go to break, but, you know, in the end, I'm still glad you called in. And I got to say, I do not like anything you said tonight. And I do find it pretty disgusting, and I'm sorry, but I'm more than happy to talk to you about it. And maybe one day, I think that you may have a change of heart on this, but I think a lot of what it is once you really have this consume you in such a way, if there's a certain hatred towards another type of person, and it just consumes you and feeds into you, and you know, they say you are what you eat. Once you keep eating that and eating that, it's the result is not going to be good. So, Scott, maybe just what I would say is, even though I could hear you and say these things to you, please have some consideration into your fellow man and woman, even those that you may feel as part of this conspiracy. Show them love, show them compassion, maybe learn a little bit about them, and maybe that'll start changing your heart a little. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts, michaelsflooringoutlet.com.
We're going to be hooking up with our friend Rex. He's up in Canada, and hey, we missed last Sunday, so we get to connect. We got a lot to talk about. Probably we're going to waste our time with dogs and bacon, but still, it's still going to be a lot of fun. But before we get to that real quick, Lou's been holding on. Welcome to Overnight America, Lou.
Oh, thank you, Ryan. It's just sad to hear views like that expressed. I would just want to say one thing. That book that he mentioned, The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, if you look it up on Wikipedia, it's a fabricated anti-Semitic text first published in Russia in 1903, and it was used by Hitler to try to justify the annihilation of Jews in Europe and propaganda against Jews. And Henry Ford, who was pretty much anti-Semitic, funded the printing of 500,000 copies of it and distributed it throughout the United States in 1920. So that's just some information on there. People can look it up on Wikipedia if they want to.
Yeah, I'm glad you called in and said that, Lou. When I, because we get calls every once in a while, and some people have some pretty, pretty shocking views. Yeah, and the views, I think this audience is aware enough and intelligent enough that they can hear these things without trying to necessarily sensationalize them for entertainment purposes. More or less, I was more interested in trying to talk to Scott as a person to find out, where does this all come from? Why do you believe these things? And this is sometimes gets lost in translation, because people can go a certain way and you can just degrade them, or you know, you can just make fun of them, and ultimately, in the end, they dig deeper into the dirt, into the sand, and nothing changes. In fact, it may even get any worse. I say this from an honest place. I really do hope Scott has a change of heart on this, and I hope there is something that opens it up there. But you can't get to that point unless you actually have conversations with people. So, you know, and if people sometimes listen and they hear these things, and they wonder why we have callers and we allow them airtime to say these things. Honestly, I'm just hoping that maybe we can make one little difference in that one person, or maybe there's other people listening we can make a difference with that feels that way. So, hey, Lou, thank you very much for calling in. Whew. Well, we're going to take a break, and this was only a really quick segment because we want to make sure we get to Drex up in Canada. And we do this on Sunday nights. We're going to join him in about 5 minutes from now. Don't go anywhere. It's Overnight America, KMOX. And Overnight America continues. I cut this too close. I bet Drex is listening right now. He's always listening. Drex, are
man,
you there?
U2 is amazing. I love it when when talk radio stations bust out U2 or even the Beastie Boys. It's always fun. How are you, Ryan Recker, sir?
I'm doing very good, Drex. Thank you for allowing me to go late. I had an interesting first couple of segments. You know how those go, but I feel like I'm late with you most nights.
Yeah, so did we. We fired a commercial break across the network straight at the start of the show. Very professional up here in Canada.
So you had last Sunday off. Are you nice and refreshed?
Yeah, man, I had the last week off.
That's awesome. Yeah, what'd you do?
Did I miss anything in the news?
Our Lake of the Ozarks, not too far here from St. Louis, is making national news here in the U.S., showing a bunch of, you know, teens and 20-year-olds in the pool. Did that make news up there in Canada?
Yeah, we had our own version of it called Trinity Park in Toronto yesterday, where the mayor and the premier, which is the Canadian version of a governor, showed up at the park to ask people why they were not social distancing. And now the mayor of Toronto is getting his behind kicked by a bunch of people because he wasn't really wearing his mask properly while chatting to people in the park. So, yeah, wow. I saw the Ozark thing. I saw the Toronto thing. It's weird, man. I think people just see headlines and think everything's good. You know, we're slowly opening up, or they just see opening up and think it's okay to head out to the beach again.
You know, for the last couple of days, I've lived in the house alone. My wife and son went to go visit her parents, and I've been trying to get some work done around the house. And I find that my dog is very much more attached to me when I'm the only one in the house. It's very strange how that works.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, my dog's like that no matter where I go. Does he follow you to the bathroom?
Yes, I have to close the door when I'm here alone because the dog will just walk in and just expect me to, since I'm sitting down, go ahead, pet me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of dog thinks. Yeah. So it's pretty good, but except at night, which is the strangest thing. At night, dog still prefers to stay upstairs in the little doggy bed, will not come down here and do the show with me.
It's because your basement's haunted. That's what's going on. Can I tell you what my dog does? And this might be a little bit of an overshare, too much information. You just tell me to stop whenever it's too much, okay? Okay. But when I get up in the morning and go to the washroom, if I drop my trousers, my dog generally will, because he's tiny, will hop into my trousers.
Oh, yeah.
While that's they're around my ankles. He'll hop in there because it's nice and warm.
Yeah, of course. It's like a little hammock or something.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Now, while your wife's been away, everyone knows you as a pretty kind of thrifty guy. You don't like to spend too much money on things. You're kind of tight with cash. I'm sure you got a bit of cash. You just don't like to spend it. But what you will spend your money on when your wife is not around is a pound of bacon for yourself. I'm concerned for your cholesterol. And I'm wondering if it's safe to talk about it, because if you have a jammer live on the radio and we've been chatting about you eating a pound of bacon, is your insurance going to cover that?
I love bacon. It's a Sunday morning routine, and even with the family gone, I just still decided to cook a pound of bacon up. Now, it doesn't mean I ate the whole pound of bacon. It just means that I eat the same amount of bacon I normally eat, which is maybe 4 strips, 5 strips if I'm feeling lucky. And then I decided to get my dog in on this. So normally the strips my son would eat, dog got a couple of extra strips in there too, was loving it. Now the dog thinks I'm a hero.
You gave the dog an entire strip of bacon?
Oh yeah, probably 3 strips this morning, somewhere in there.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, so the dog loved the strip, and then I crumbled some up inside of her dog food in the morning to kind of add a little extra, little bit of And yes, she loved it. I don't know if she's going to feel spoiled every time I do something like that, but, I'll probably do it again tomorrow because I got extra bacon left over.
Oh, yeah. When does Mrs. Recker get back to the house?
Probably tomorrow. They're thinking about it. But you don't give your dog treats like that, a little bit of human food every once in a while?
I might give him like a little crumb of bacon. I never give him a whole piece, though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
This is how you get this is how you really build a connection with your dog. If you start feeding your dog little things like that, no one else will do it. The dog's always naturally going to be connected to you because you're the one that feeds it.
Yeah, you're the best bud. You've built that bond, right? Because you're the only human. So yeah. You'll always have a best bud and a dog. Like mine just follows me everywhere, man. No matter where I go, get them out, dogs there.
And you know what happens every time I cook bacon, and I post a photo of it on social media. Everyone says, "I can't believe you don't cook your bacon in the oven." I only do regular stovetop bacon. You get the pan out, you fry it.
Oh yeah,
all of that. Yeah. And then everyone online says, "No, you're doing it wrong. You have to put it in your oven and just let it cook itself in there." So how do you cook your bacon?
You know what? Here's what I think is ridiculous, is people online telling you did something wrong. You can cook your bacon any way you want. It's your bacon. It's Ryan Recker's bacon. It's not Cindy in St. Louis's bacon. It's Ryan's bacon, and Ryan will cook his bacon however he wants. Now, look, they're not wrong. Cooking it in the oven is a great way to cook it. But I like both ways. I like oven bacon, but I also like, sometimes I like cooking in the pan, and then I like cooking eggs in the bacon fat.
Oh, yeah, that's the way to do it. Do you ever use that bacon fat for your popcorn?
Yes, everything. No, not popcorn. I haven't tried that. I used it for other cooking things, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you save
it.
I save it for Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts? What? You know, Drex, you're an adult. You're not forced to eat Brussels sprouts anymore.
No, I know you don't like them, but I'm a fan of them. So here's the thing. And look, you know what, Ryan? You can substitute the Brussels sprout for any vegetable you prefer. And it's the same method's going to work, right? So what's your favorite? Do you have a favorite vegetable?
I can't say I have a favorite. I mean, I can't say I have a favorite fruit or vegetable.
All right, let's say hypothetically it's a potato.
Okay, they are delicious.
Right.
Fried.
So if you chop up a potato like you chop up a Brussels sprout, and then you smother that in bacon fat, and then you put it in the oven, it's going to come out one way, and that's delicious.
Oh yeah, it does sound good. There's probably a lot of opportunities, but you can't just go to the store and buy bacon grease, can you?
Wow, that's a cottage industry right there, my friend. Bacon
Drex,
grease, because you can buy
buy
tomato paste. Yeah, you can buy tomato paste in a tube, right? The good tomato paste from Italy, right? If you want to make really good high-end pasta sauce, imagine if you could get bacon fat in a tube. Oh my goodness!
Wouldn't that be it? And that's $1 million idea.
Why are we in the radio business?
Yeah, you know, everyone throws it away. Look at all the millions of dollars being tossed away every day. All you have to do is save it. You can buy it. Ryan and Drex's old-fashioned bacon grease company will come and buy that bacon grease up, and we'll resell it to people.
Oh man!
You know what they do here?
Can you imagine the place would always smell amazing?
Oh yeah, I know. Just you have to open the windows in the morning when I cook that thing. But there's a place here. They actually there's a deli, Joya's Deli. I love them. Anytime I get an opportunity, I'll go and eat from them. But they have this. They make their own, like a special type of salami. It's not like a deli meat salami. It's like a log of salami, and then they use it as part of their sandwiches. But the grease that off of that, they'll take the grease, they'll make it into soap, and then they'll sell the salami soap.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So there's other uses for it.
That.
What about some bacon soap?
Yeah, bacon soap. Well, yeah, I think I've seen bacon soap, which I thought was interesting. There's a lot of uses for bacon fat, man. I don't know why we're talking about it on radio, because now someone's going to hear this and steal it and then claim it's theirs. And it's going to be a whole thing. And we're going to miss out on money.
Patent pending. Well, that's everyone's wondering what's going to happen with this surplus of bacon, or there's a shortage of bacon, whatever it is. There's always going to be bacon grease out there. You just have to find a way to cure it the right way.
What's currently going on there? Because I know that here in Canada, we've had a bunch of COVID cases at a few different meat plants across the country, a couple in Alberta, one in Quebec. I know that you've had the same sort of situation in some places within the States. Have you seen a noticeable dip in meat products being on the shelves, or prices fluctuating? Have you noticed any of that? Because to be honest with you, I haven't.
Yeah, we have a meat processing plant very close to us here in St. Louis that was one of them affected. But just from my own consumer level, when I go to the store, I can still purchase meat. There's the hard part for me is that if we go and we just want to find like maybe some little steaks or whatever to grill up, that we can't get those. It seems like that stuff has been selling out pretty easy, at least the stores I've been shopping at. But I think a lot of that has to do with people that may be overbuying or storing or hoarding this sort of thing. And there was a little bit of that going on. And then after a while, it kind of leveled off and there wasn't really an issue finding what you needed to at the grocery store. But I still think that there might be some of that going on, and that might have caused some shortages to begin with.
I did see regular normal levels of toilet tissue and hand sanitizer and like, you know, Pine-Sol and stuff like that at the grocery store over the weekend. So, you know, maybe some things are returning to, you know, somewhat normalcy. You know, I didn't know how often you hear from truckers on your show, but we hear from truckers here in Canada on our show all the time that say, yeah, you know, stuff's moving across the country. Where are the guys moving it? So it's getting there. But I think what you're saying is right, is that some folks are buying more than what they could ever possibly need because they're greedy.
There could be a little bit of that. Normally, whatever the level of their distributor, you know, they buy because they assume there's so many people that would purchase it, but then everyone wants to grab it. So next thing you know, it's a little bit more in demand, but the distributor's still only giving them the same amount, which maybe causes some of that artificial demand when people see it's missing. Next time they go in, they buy more of it. Mm. But I wonder, just how many people have like the deep freezers that are just going to be eating off of this for a long time. And like for me, with the toilet paper, I still couldn't find it in the store. I had to order it off of Walmart's website.
Off a website? Wow. That's, if you were going to describe 2020 to somebody, how would you describe it? Ryan Ranker bought toilet paper off a website. That's what he did.
No, and I had to wait for it. Not that we were desperately waiting for it to show up and we were thinking of what the alternative would be. Not really the case. But we definitely thought, oh boy, if this thing keeps getting delayed, we could be in trouble.
All right, everyone in the shower. Let's go. Here we go. Everyone in. Yeah,
the
I find
shower.
That we're buying. Yeah, everyone jump in. That's the because we actually went through and found all the old pre 1824 uses for what people used as toilet paper. Man, there's some interesting things on the list. Corn cobs is one of them.
Oh no, corn cob.
Yes, absolutely. I almost fell
terrible.
Off my chair when I read that. Yeah, leaves off the ground, corn cobs, you name it. So you know, we're never stuck for nature's toilet paper.
Yeah, I'm going to say something, and this is going to sound a little bit weird, but, you know, I have a 5-and-a-half-year-old son, and he wants a bidet.
You know what? He must be one classy little guy, so.
Well, it's not for that reason. It's because he's at the age where, you know, it's a little bit harder for him to, you know, take care of himself back there. So he's like, this would be so much easier if I can just have a machine do it for me. Go ahead and get the bidet.
Yeah,
that's
smart,
what he
kid,
wants.
Man. Yeah, you get a smart kid, man. That's wow. See, that guy's thinking, that kid's thinking 20 years ahead of anybody else.
We still haven't got it for him. I don't know, but he asked about it.
Yeah. You watch. I'm trying to picture you as a kid, you know, because once again, you're a little cheap. So you know, I'm just trying to picture you, your kid growing up. He's, you know, he's an adult. He's married, got a couple of kids. He buys his first house. And you and your wife go over to visit, you know, the grandkids. It's like, oh, Dad, look, we finally installed the bidet. Look at it, it's amazing. And you'd be like, how much did you spend on that thing? How much was that?
No, being the handy guy that I am, I'm sure he would purchase it, and then he would say, I need you to install this for me, and then the fight begins, because I'm not installing a bidet in a house.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, look, if that's what he wants, then that's what he's going to get eventually. Like, you know what some kids are like? You know what you were like as a kid? You wanted that one thing, and then as an adult, if you didn't have it, you were just like, I'm just going to get that thing that I want, because I'm an adult now.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? The things you can do as an adult. You can purchase any snack you want, any cereal you want. Oh, when you're a kid, if you got the cereal you actually wanted, it was the greatest thing in the world. But now you could go and buy any cereal you want, and it doesn't feel all that exciting.
And you know what, Ryan, on that note, as we leave you, you know what the other great thing is about being an adult is?
Hmm.
is you can buy toilet paper online and have it delivered to your house.
I know.
You know, when I was younger, to chat. We'll chat again next week, right?
Parents would flip out if they knew I was giving my address out on the internet. Now that's all we do. All right, Drex, good to hear from you, man.
Isn't it always a pleasure? Yeah. Don't give out your address on the internet. Ryan Recker from KMOX.
Thanks, Drex, our friend over in Canada, The Late Shift. He does the show out there. Isn't that fun? Ah, I really enjoy that. I'm glad Doug mentioned that he enjoys it as well. He listens on Sunday nights to hear the segment with Drex. I know, when I was growing up, that was the thing. Parents found out I gave our address, our home address out to a stranger on the internet. Let it be a corporation or a company. Who cares if it was Walmart or not? Oh, they would take the internet away from me. They'd rip that phone line right out of the wall and punt kick that computer right out the door. That's what you get for giving our address out to someone. I remember one time it was a friend, and this is back when the internet was just like a new thing. We had AOL Instant Messenger. Oh, wow, weren't we cool? And I was talking to some friends from school, and I wanted one of them to call, so I had to give them my phone number. And my parents said, you're not giving your phone number out on the internet. Someone could see it, not understanding how encryption or all this stuff worked with Instant Messenger. So they said, this is what you need to do. You can tell them part of the number now, and then email them another part of the number, and then next time you see them, you can... Just like they wanted me to spread it out on all these different methods. Oh, the times have changed. Now today, people willingly post embarrassing videos and photos of themselves. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Here we are in Overnight America. And these comments happened on Friday, but I got to say, I feel like I may have predicted that Joe Biden was going to say something as dumb as, you ain't black, when referring to, hey, if you don't vote for me, then you ain't black. All right, so I'm going to play the entire comments in just how, to me, I look at this and I say, there's gaffes, and then there are phrases in certain ideas that are commonly shared if you are liberal. And some of those ideas is that you can look at, as opposed to the person's beliefs in the merits of their argument, you can look at that, or you can look at the color of their skin and say, I bet they believe in this or that. And for the longest time, the Democratic Party has always believed this type of mindset. They've always sometimes said it explicitly, sometimes implied it. But here's Joe Biden coming out with it from an interview with a radio show on Friday morning.
Well, I saw today that a news report broke that Amy Klobuchar was being vetted, and a lot of people on social media, they're not too happy about that. And it's because they want your running mate to be a black woman. I don't know if you saw the op-ed in the Washington Post by some of the leading black women voices in this country. And they feel, since black women are such a loyal voting bloc and black people saved your political life in the primaries this year, they have things they want from you. And one of them is a black woman running mate. What do you say to them?
What I say to them is that I'm not acknowledging anybody who is being considered, but I guarantee you there are multiple black women being considered. Multiple.
Well, you know, thanks so much. That's really our time. I apologize.
You can't do that to black media.
I can't do that to white media and black media because my wife has to go on at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
Listen, you got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man. Right.
So then it goes on just briefly after that. But that's the sentiments. If you can't tell the difference between me and Trump, then you ain't black. You know, and that's the type of mindset that it's very difficult to get past if you're on the left, because you feel like, oh, it's a given, right? You almost just assume, based on the color of their skin, they're going to vote a certain way. And it's actually pretty demeaning, degrading. All right, our patriotic song of the night. We're going to talk more about this after the hour, but we just chose Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA, on KMOX.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Today, 'cause there ain't no doubt.